Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 310, episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is Wednesday, October 25th, 2023.
Yeah,
this could be like lost numbers in the hatch or something.
Four, eight, 15, 16, 23, 42.
Those are lost numbers. Wait, do you actually know those, Caitlin?
Yeah. Oh, I was a big lost head at the time.
I thought you were just being
wait,
like,
what is 42, it? 4, 8, 15, 20, 16, 23, 4, 42.
Yeah,
right?
17. Yeah. 4, yeah. 8, 15, 16, 23.
Yeah, you got it.
Because it was just like a thing that you would, that, what's his face, would always be muttering like over and over and over. Mm-hmm. And you're like, you just learned the cadence. Anyway, it's Greasy Foods Day. I can get down with that. International Artists Day. I think we can get down with that. And also Chucky the Killer Doll Day.
He's getting a jump on it. A jump on Halloween. Chucky's still, like, there's still a lot of Chucky costumes out trick-or-treating and stuff.
Yeah.
He's relevant.
Iconic, I guess.
I don't know.
I was never into Chucky, though. I feel like I see the resurgence of Chucky is really with the youth, too.
The youth them?
Yeah, the youth them.
Yeah, I don't know. I liked his... That movie really... I think it's, like, really fun in concept. Like, a killer doll is really cool. But then, like, is there a great Chucky movie, Caitlin? A resident film expert? Like
thank you so much for seeing me. Mm-hmm. I think that the first one is, like, really scary. And, like, the exact amount of hokey campiness that I want in a horror movie while also being like genuinely pretty scary.
Now, I haven't seen it since I was like 8.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe that's my problem.
I watched that shit when I was 6. Yeah. 1990, I remember, like right when it came out on tape. But I haven't, I was like, nah. But maybe that's because it was too much for my 6-year-old brain.
Yeah.
Could be. I think you need to revisit
with an open mind.
I don't even know if I've seen any of the sequels, because I know there's like Bride of Chucky and all that kind of stuff. But I think the first one is pretty solid and you should revisit as an adult.
Okay. Yeah, I will.
All right.
Yeah. Shout out to Sean, my third grade very good best buddy whose parents had like the greatest VHS, like self-taped at home library.
Oh, and really?
That's where I saw Die Hard way too young. That's where I saw Child's Play way too young.
Wait, was Die Hard, what was it ripped off of? Like, they were just ripping from other videos?
I think
videos,
they must have, like, been taping it off of like HBO or something, because it wasn't, there weren't like commercial breaks.
Got it. They were TV. Like, okay. I wasn't sure if they had their own pirate operation, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that reminds me of something that annoys me, though. The title of Chucky is actually Child's Play. And it's like, why wouldn't you just call it Chucky? The same way that, why is the movie that should be called Rambo actually called First Blood?
Yeah. I know.
That
gets a big jerk off hand motion from me. First Blood. Fuck out of here. Okay.
No, but a movie called Rambo, sign me up.
Yeah.
Rambo, Rambo 2. I mean, that's what we ended up calling them. Yeah. You know, colloquially, word I can't pronounce. My name's Jack O'Brien, aka. This is a story of a guy who pissed his pants and blamed water ice. And while he looks so sad talking coal gas, I absolutely love him when he smiles. That's courtesy of Lacaroni. Appreciate it. He said, I've made a Jack O'Brien double LP, written in reference to the time I peed my pants on a child's ride with my children and blamed it on water ice. It's okay. Anyways.
It's okay. It's okay.
I swear I didn't. It wasn't. I didn't just admit to that. Anyways, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Miles Gray, a.k.a. Wake up. Now where can we put the arts? Kizu art up? Where to advertise a local startup? Where to post this recipe from grandma? Pictures from our trip to Alabama? Not on the fridge.
You want to.
Now where can we put the new kids art up? Not on the fridge. Where to advertise a local startup? Not on the fridge.
Not on the fridge.
Where to post this recipe from grandma? Not on the fridge. I don't think you trust in my personal style guide. I cry when fridges are not magnetized. Shout out to Razak for that chop suey system of a
resin.
Down. Yeah, just giving it to us, you know, because you know what? Keep the fucking refrigerators magnetized.
Wake up, people. Indeed.
Don't make the decision for people. If they want to use it as a repository for construction paper and news clippings, let that happen. Okay?
Yeah. Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a very talented writer, stand-up comedian, podcast host of the Bechdel Cast, which takes down the patriarchy one movie at a time. She also happens to have a master's degree in film. Yep. No big deal. To be one of our favorite guests on this podcast. No big deal.
No big deal.
Happens to have the most anagrammable name in the English language. It's Caitlin Durante!
Thank you so much.
Nine-tit
Dracula. I mean, it's just like the season, you know.
it is nine-tit Dracula season.
It is.
What are you going as for Halloween?
Oh, let me tell you.
Nine-tit Dracula.
I honestly should. But that'll have to be next year's costume, because I don't think I could pull it off in time. But this year's costume, all-time low for laziness.
Okay.
I'm making a shirt, which by that I just mean, like, I'm going to find an old white t-shirt and then just write male ego on it. And then I'm going to take a bunch of, like, those, like, fragile stickers that you would put on, like, a box full of, like, glasses.
Got him.
Or, like, breakable things.
Mm-hmm.
Fragile male ego. Tee-hee.
Here. Wow. I mean, it's good, though. It's good.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I can't, and I'm inevitably, like, I'm already going to apologize for the shitty dudes who are like, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm. Let me just preemptively.
Yeah.
I'm cool. That's cool, because that's not me. That's why I'm funny. I think that is funny, too.
Any man who
that's hilarious.
Right? Because any man who's like upset by that, it's like, I'm talking about you.
Yeah.
No, you're fragile.
It's like one of those outdoor like insect lamps that just brings them in and just gets zapped. Yeah. Like, come to the light. Yep.
Precisely. And
accept the truth. Feel the warmth.
That's so funny, with just dead eyes, no smile, no trace of smile.
You can go, does this resonate with you?
Mm-hmm.
No.
No. Oh.
What does that mean? What does resonate mean? Never mind, sir. Just go on your way.
All right, Caitlin, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about. Another Trump associate.
Mm-hmm.
Tried to shorten associate to assos, and it doesn't really work. Anyways, Jenna Ellis has pled guilty, the third guilty plea, just this week, fourth overall. So we're going to look into that. We're going to look into what that means. And then we're going to check in with Donald Trump and see how he's doing.
Dude, spoiler. Back.
He's doing fine.
Back to back sound bites that are breaking new ground.
Bangers. Yeah. I mean, he's an artist. He's always pushing the envelope further. Miles has a reason for me to care about the speakership. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah. Historical precedence. I think that might resonate.
That's me. When someone talks about historical precedents, don't care.
Oh, that was you. I thought you were nodding off.
I always am a little bit.
Wow.
We're going to talk about women in Iceland going on strike, but perhaps a effective collective action that maybe should not just be in Iceland. We'll talk about a Taylor Swift conspiracy theory. We'll talk about the Switch Witch, all of this, plenty more. But first, Caitlin Durante, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
I searched for how to fight a Gleok, I think is maybe how you pronounce it.
A what?
Parentheses, Tears of the Kingdom. So I've been ruining my life recently with the newest Zelda game. And there are these three-headed dragon type things, and I don't know how to do it.
And
I am not above cheating, and so I look everything up on the internet of how to do the things in the game, because it's a really hard game. I honestly don't even remember what it said. The different Gleoks, again, sorry if I'm not pronouncing this correctly, there's like, they have like different elemental things. So one of them is like the fire one. One is the electricity one.
Right.
One is like the ice one. So you have to like use other like contrasting elemental weapons and stuff like that to fight them. But I know that they
frost kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. But they have a weak spot and I still don't know what it is because I'm too afraid to get close enough to them. So
yeah.
Do you do the thing, because when I play video games and I get stuck, sometimes you will see an article that will tell you how to cheat, how to defeat it, or the YouTube video where you can be like, hold on, how the fuck, do that. Okay.
Yeah.
It always clicks immediately. Sometimes I like to start with the text so it doesn't feel like I'm fully just like, okay. Mm-hmm. So there's a bit of a challenge, but then I'm always frustrated when I see how easy it looks when someone else does it. And I'm like, do I fucking suck at everything? Is that what the fuck is going on?
No, I think it's just people who probably like have made a living at just playing video games and like posting content to like teach people how to do it.
So right.
Like, yeah, you would be good at this.
Oh, that's how you make. Yeah, it's like, well, that's your privilege. So actually,
you would be good at this, loser. Oh, you're so good at video games.
Oh, you defeated the Gleok in one go. Great.
Good for you.
All right, now just tell me how to fucking do it. Okay, just tell me.
Shut the fuck up. What's the secret? Shoot him in the fucking eye, what?
Ugh. No, that's the other thing. That's the big troll guy. Anyway, sorry.
Who's the big troll guy?
There is like, I forget what those ones are called, but they're these like big guys who are bounding around and they have one eyeball. And you have to, their weak spot is their eye. So you have to like shoot an arrow into their eye and then they fall over and then you like bash them with your sword and stuff.
Yeah.
Is this resonating with anybody?
Then you just like kind of knock them over and just fucking stab them 100 times with a goddamn sword right in their fucking eye.
Well, fucking right in their skull.
The battles are my least favorite. Yes, exactly, you're right, Miles. The battling is like my least favorite part of the game. I just want to go around and like forage for mushrooms. I want to go around and find all the outfits.
Yeah. All right, the last person to bring up the game said the exact same thing, was like, love the other part but also just love to fucking meander. And
it's
like,
really
just
meanderable
explore. Yeah,
game.
Yeah,
no, highly pressure. Meanderable.
Mm-hmm.
What is something you think is overrated?
Because it's spooky movie season, I think Ari Aster as a filmmaker is a bit overrated.
Ooh, okay. Midsommar,
Hereditary, and then the one that came out most recently, Beau is Afraid. Didn't see that one. I think that he, let me clarify, I think he is good at making a horror movie that makes me feel very scared and unsettled. Because I saw both Midsommar and Hereditary in theaters, and they were effective horror movies in that I felt miserable and scared the whole time.
Yeah, it's not enough to just be scared. You want to feel worse, just like bad in general. Right. Like you've got a flu or something.
Right. Full body aches.
I have an emotional... I left Hereditary with like a migraine headache because I was just so tense and like just feeling
hell
so awful.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's a good storyteller. I think he's a good director and I think he gets good performances. And I think he's like good at is he overrated? I don't know. I just think I don't like his screenplays. Like, I think he's not a good storyteller. I think they're kind of sloppy. I think that he doesn't know how to write women really at all. Like, you know, his treatment of mental health and mental illness is really not good. Anyway.
It's really like, I think there's a lot of filmmakers like that now who are, they have all the power and the thing they choose to do with that power is to just like, be like, I'm going to do my own little stories, and they would be like so much better off just, you know, finding other people's stories to tell.
Yeah. Or like, I don't know, send your draft to someone and get some notes.
Well, he doesn't need them because I saw that thing. Martin Scorsese is like, the pacing from Killers of the Flower Moon is like inspired by Midsommar. And he's like, Ari Aster is the fucking goat. And I'm like, I wonder what that means for this movie.
Marty. Oh yeah. This guy's never gonna not make his own screenplays. After that one.
You're goodbye to any chance.
But like Scorsese, Spielberg, Kubrick, like those people all made other people's screenplays. Like those, you know, you can still be a good filmmaker and not just write bad screenplays and make your own bad screenplays.
Like the two or however many scripts that Steven Spielberg wrote are like not very good. He's a far better director than he is a screenwriter. So...
What are his... I actually didn't even know the...
Oh, let me look it up here. Right. Yeah. I used to know this, but...
AI, I think?
Oh,
AI
maybe?
Was a collaboration with Kubrick, which also, maybe...
Yeah, it's by Spielberg, and then the story by Ian Watson. Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Right.
That's written and directed by Spielberg.
Oh, and he wrote The Fablemans, which tracks because it's like pretty autobiographical. But
makes sense.
I didn't like that movie very much.
And then Goonies is Chris Columbus based on a story by Spielberg.
Mm-hmm.
I will give him that one. I think Poltergeist. Pretty good.
But that's also three people writing with a story by Spielberg.
Yeah.
I didn't realize until very recently that Richard Donner made Goonies, like directed Goonies. I always thought it was Christopher Columbus because he wrote the screenplay. Mm-hmm. Richard Donner like really was responsible for my entire childhood with like
Lethal
Superman,
Weapon
Goonies,
and
Lethal Weapon, which I saw way too young. I was like, those are like my three favorite movies, dog.
My three favorite movies, dog.
Yeah, those hit pretty hard. What's something you think is underrated, Caitlin?
I think that being transparent about why you do not want to go on another date with someone, whether that's like a second date or maybe you've had a few and you're like, I'm not feeling this. I think being transparent about that is something that most people do not do. They just say, they kind of like make up some generic excuse and obviously like it's a case by case thing, but like I just sent a message to someone who I went on a date with. It was like pretty good conversation, but we had no kissing chemistry. He was not a good kisser. And so I kind of said that to him because he's now going to go, if someone doesn't tell him, he's just going to go through life being not good at kissing or not like tuning into someone else's, like, I don't know, kissing energy.
Shout out my high school girlfriend who saved me, who said, do not keep your motherfucking eyes open.
Close your eyes.
I was like, because for me, I'm like, yo, I can't believe this. I'm doing this shit.
You're like a deer in headlights.
Yeah. But yeah, now that
my high school girlfriend had to tell me to stop saying, wow.
Every kiss
oh my God,
wow.
Yeah.
No, but that is true. Yeah, no, I get that. I mean, and you're not trying to be mean-spirited. I think you're just being really honest about why. It's like, you know, we're just actually when it came down to the kissing part, I just felt like we're you know, you're playing jazz and I'm playing, you know, the deck of the Titanic music. You know what I mean?
And that is exactly how I would describe how I kiss.
The deck of the Titanic music.
It's been an honor playing with you this evening. Mm-hmm.
Just melancholy nobility. And
yeah.
Yes. If you're listening and you have ever kissed me and you can attest to that, please.
Yeah. Full transparent embrace of death.
Man, they was kissing like we were on the deck of the Titanic or some shit.
But no, I like different other guys. Like at the end of a date one night, the guy was like, do you want to do this again? And I'd say, honestly, I don't think we're very compatible. And you interrupted me a lot throughout the evening. And that really turned me off. And
yeah.
He was like, oh, and he was like taken aback. It's hard to hear criticism like that,
yeah.
Especially because most people aren't so openly doling it out. But
right.
I'm like obsessed with like this transparency. As long, you know, I'm trying to be constructive. I'm never cruel about it, but
sure.
Objectively,
so many people, yeah.
You was interrupted.
You did that. That did happen.
Well, what do you mean I was interrupting? Like, right.
Wait. Let me cut you off right there.
How are you? How are you even fucking defining like interrupting?
Yeah. So I'm just trying to teach men how to be better.
One
date at a time.
Yeah,
I'm sure they appreciate that. And your Halloween costume is no way inspired by their responses to that honest and constructive feedback.
What do you mean there's no kissing chemistry? I just like that it's like a New York cop.
I've been told I'm the best kisser in town.
Huh? Give me another go. Let's try it. See, it's that. It's that. What, the warm-up
part?
That's
how you, you open every kiss.
Called the tugboat.
All right. Let's take a quick break, shall we?
Yeah.
And come back and talk about some news. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.
And we're back. Caitlin, before we get into the news, I was asking you because I've been talking on the show about these like Instagram activations, these like little sort of mini museum, pop-up museums that happen all over the place. And one of the ones closest to my house that I have not yet taken my kid or my wife to is the Titanic exhibit. You are familiar with this exhibit?
I am so familiar. You had asked me if I had been to any of them, and I said, I have been to all of them. There's one in Vegas, which I've been to. There's a traveling one that came to L.A., and I guess it's still here.
I think it is,
went last year because
it's been open for, like, years. It's crazy. I'm like, wait, what? How is this still? These things usually come and go pretty quickly, but.
Right, because going to be diminishing returns, probably.
Titanic forever.
Oh, it's the same plates they have, too?
Yeah.
But yeah, you were asking me if it was any good. And it's mostly like things that might have been on the Titanic. Here's a plate that was on a different ship that was made by the same company as Titanic.
Right. Yeah.
Here's a pair of pants that people were definitely wearing pants on the Titanic.
Back then. Yeah.
Cole? Yeah. You ever heard about this stuff?
This is a mattress that they would have had in steerage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're not that impressive, but I still enjoy going.
Yeah. Going. Nice.
Yeah. So take your kids and family to go look at old plates and some pants.
I got to check it out.
Easy.
Miles.
Yeah.
Caitlin. We've got to get caught up on these dang Trump trials.
Okay.
Am I right?
I mean, we talked about this at the end of last week, right when Sydney, the Kraken lady, Powell, flipped. And we're like, oh, and then we're like, damn, she got like $7,000 in fines and 6 months probation. I'm like, must be nice to whatever the fuck's going on. Now we have Jenna Ellis, similar thing, about 6 months or 5 years of five years probation, $5,000 in restitution. And she will, you know, not have to answer for her part in this RICO case. And so at the time, I was like, what the fuck? Like, are they really going to come with it? Because that's the only way you're going to be involved in like a RICO case that was meant to overturn a fucking election and only get 6 years proby. But we'll see. Everyone seems to think that now it's getting more intense, maybe because there's three people that worked on this effort who are basically saying, hey, yeah, we're willing to just sing. Just please don't allow us to see the inside of a jail.
And this is the lawyer who was like all over cable news during the election, basically being very confident about
the
election was stolen.
She loved getting in front of the camera and screaming lies to everybody. But she says now to the judge, she's like, if I knew then what I knew now, I would have declined to represent Donald Trump in these post-election challenges. I just want to play her doing I just love when people deploy the tears to try and get out of, you know, trouble. Mm-hmm. So she did give a tearful statement to the judge. And I just love the way she started off her statement. We'll listen now.
As an attorney who is also a Christian,
mm-hmm.
I take my responsibilities as a lawyer very seriously. And I endeavor to be a person of sound moral and ethical character in all of my dealings.
But not a good actor. Not a good actor, though.
I don't know if she's crying. All she's doing is speaking in a high-pitched, shaky voice while touching her eye every once in a while.
They're weaponized white women tears. I've seen this 100 times. And they are an effective tool in ducking and avoiding accountability. So I do not blame Jenna Ellis for just as a lawyer and a Christian.
And a Christian.
I'm just going to touch the corners of my eyes. But yeah, this also spells more trouble for Rudy Giuliani, blah, blah, blah. I'll believe it when I see Trump in an orange jumpsuit. But
yes.
Speaking of Trump now, This is three lawyers from the coup squad now copping plea deals. And many were curious to get a comment from Donald Trump on whether, like, or not he's worried about any of this. He was asked in New Hampshire 2 days ago whether or not he was, you know, like him constantly insisting that Sidney Powell, who was part of the Trump legal team, he swears like she wasn't representing me. They're like, aren't you worried that like that may eliminate your attorney-client privilege? And his answer completely changed the game. Listen to this.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Listen to this.
Mr. President, you said Sidney Powell wasn't your attorney. Are you concerned that you won't be covered by attorney-client privilege?
No, not at all. We did nothing wrong. We did nothing. This is all Biden. Indictments and impeachments, and this is all about Biden. He can't do anything right. The only thing they know how to do is cheat on elections and election fraud.
That's you.
This is all Biden stuff. All of these indictments that you see. I was never indicted.
Huh?
Wait, what?
I'm sorry, you were what? Hold on, one more time for the people in the back.
Indictments that you see. I was never indicted. Practically never heard the word. It wasn't a word that registered.
Oh, because you're just some kind of cognitive decline?
What?
Whoa.
I was never
I was never
indicted. Is that from Q? Is that like Q shit where he's like been reading QAnon theories that like he was never indicted and like all of this is a scam? Because like that doesn't even make sense, like given the laws of like the physical universe. Jack. He has to know indicted.
He's Miles, changed the game, the Jack. Court.
Well, he doesn't know he was indicted because he's never heard this word before.
It wasn't a word that registered.
It didn't indicted, register. As you say. Doesn't even register. Oh, sorry. So that means there's something wrong with your brain and we need to get you to a hospital.
Yeah. Not... You fucking hear that, Byron? I was never indicted. Okay?
Wow.
Practically never heard the word except for the numerous times I've heard it. And speaking of Joe Byron, this is another thing he said while he was in New Hampshire, that he would beat Joe Biden's ass down in a fight. And I just, this is another stage he's at where he's throwing air jabs, talking here. This is the man himself.
Remember when Biden, I'd like to take him to the back of the barn. I dream of that. You know what I do with him? Oh, I dream.
Oh.
What? Oh. He's a
I'd hit him right in that fake nose. That fake nose. They'd have plastic lying all over the floor. But I don't want to.
I'm sorry, what?
He doesn't know how plastic surgery works.
Does he have a. Did he have a rhinoplasty or something?
That's. Wow.
Did you like that boxing form? I think he must be a southpaw because he had that right hand out front and real tight jab. Like, oh. Like one of those Rock'em Sock'em robots.
Hmm. Good form, good thoughts all around. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll punch him in the plastic nose. There'll be plastic everywhere.
Yeah, he doesn't know what plastic surgery is, I guess.
No, but
right?
What I'm saying is that like an established, like,
I've never heard this in my life that,
yeah,
that Biden had a nose job.
You're right. I mean, like, I guess he's got like veneers and like weird vinyl hair, but like,
he's had a lot of. Lifts. What's the stuff called where they like, yeah,
Botox.
The stuff, Botox. He's been Botoxed within an inch of his life. His face looks like it's like being, I don't know. His eyes are like being squeezed or something. Right. And
I just love the plastic everywhere. Like he's fighting a fucking.
Like a Rock'em Sock'em.
Yeah, like literally. Yeah, based on his form. Yeah, we're both plastic.
Would fall off and it'd be made of plastic and kick his ass.
And and then he also had this one other amazing moment where he kind of like had one of those like stoner realizations you have in high school, like after you like you take your first big bong rip and you start like seeing the matrix of the world. Here's him talking about. A cool new slogan that he just came up with.
This is on our business. Why are you doing that? He said, Macron, nice guy. You know, look, he's for France. I'm for us. Uh-huh. You know how you spell us, right? You spell us, U.S. I just picked that up. Has anyone ever thought of that? I just picked that up. A couple of days I'm reading and it said us. And I said, you know... If you think about it, us equals U.S. Isn't that... Now, if we say something genius, they'll never say it. You know?
He goes on to like brag about it.
Wait,
he, like, is he trying to do stand-up comedy? I don't.
He's always trying to do stand-up comedy, but
yeah, that was like his school project that went well that he wanted to tell his parents about. You know, I just realized us. Huh. And I just
us,
I like how he
country,
said, I'm reading
US a
I'm
country.
Reading I'm reading and it said you it said us and I said, you know, you think about it, us equals US.
The thing I just said was so genius, they'll never reprint it because it's so genius.
Because I'm merely spelling a word.
And he is the first one to make this observation, so we do have to give him credit for that.
That's true. That is true. So, yeah, again,
still got
not
it,
stressed
folks.
At all. Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't seem stressed, no.
One thing I just want to touch on before we move on is I know the speakership thing has always been like, I don't care what the fuck's going on with this. What does it fucking matter?
I should care. Everybody, well, like, no. Smart people care about this. I'm having a hard time caring, though.
I don't necessarily care because I'm like, oh, no, the progressive legislation that's been passed time and again by this Congress will cease. So from that perspective, I'm like, yeah, sure. Like, minimally keep the government funded. But the bigger picture here is, you know, looking at this, Jack, with a little bit of historical precedence here. And I know you rolled your eyes so far into the back of your head, you almost did a backflip.
I sprained my eyeballs. When you said history, I don't care, but, dude.
I look at it right now about like how they are fighting, right? And they're like deadlocked. And a lot of people have always said like, oh, the MAGA takeover is the end of the Republican Party. Like it's like as we know it. But I think this like impasse they're at is closer to the kinds of like traditional like party collapses or intra-party fighting that we've seen historically. You know, a few people have mentioned like the Whig Party. And like in the lead up to the Civil War, how it fell apart because of the Kansas-Nebraska Act. And there was like the whole Bleeding Kansas thing. And basically it split the Whig Party between pro-slavery and those people who were like free soilers or like anti-slavery. Mm-hmm. And that made the party just poof. It went away. Everyone went their other routes. They went into other parties. I'm saying this has the potential to have the kind of like diminished power for a party and ends up helping another, the opposition party win, unfortunately, without having to do much because of like the infighting, like it happened before with Teddy Roosevelt trying to like do a coup within the party, or even like how the Vietnam War split Democrats and then a Republican wins the next election, Nixon. So like you, because I'm looking at this from the perspective of there's like 24-ish people in the Republicans that are like, absolutely, we're not going to let the Jim Jordan wing take over. And Jim Jordan and that side has like responded with like physical threats of violence to people. And it's that kind of like fracturing that I'm like, oh yeah, this might be more closer to like the party literally just like breaking apart on some level more than like the speakership, but like what this says about like the health of the party. So just an observation that a few
interesting
people have made. Yeah.
So that, and then they would break apart into some new party that we've not yet heard of that hasn't been invented. Yeah.
Or like some Republicans end up being like, yeah, you know, the Democrats are actually a center right party. So I'm a Democrat
now. Anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, or there's some kind of other political realignment because, again, there's a voting block, too, that's like MAGA or nothing. But then you also have these other Republicans who are like nerds who are like, what about like legislating? And, you know, most of the party's like, no, we don't have a policy agenda. It's just to say no to whatever Democrats do. And that's it. And so I don't know. I mean, like it's like along those lines, I can see something potentially spell, you know, like, again, it's just going to weaken the party. At best, it weakens the party. At worst, maybe you're going to see real fracturing or people just resigning, which is another thing that I'm seeing. Like people are just going to get ousted. But the Republican Party is definitely they're fucking up bad and it's going through some terrible things.
Obviously, I'm not the first one to make this observation that U.S. equals us, because that was Donald Trump. No, just it's so wild that there are only two major parties in this country, because the disparity between like people who are on the far left and centrists is enormous. Like, the disparity between people who are on the far right and centrists is, like, pretty big. Like, it just doesn't make any sense that there's, like, this enormous, vast spectrum and only two parties that represent it. I still cannot wrap my mind around it.
Right. I see it, like, you know, the polling right now is really bad, like, with young voters. Like, Biden support just cratered over the last week because of everything that's happening in Palestine.
What happened?
But, like, that's, like, where you, like, and this is a thing that many progressives have talked about. It's, like, you know, whether it's Democrats and progressives always saying, like, they're just going to court, you know, people, like, that are further left than the, like, the center left party or, you know, the establishment Democrat party, just court their votes and then just immediately just do the opposite of what they said once they get power. That you see, like, the potential for these things. Now, I don't know how would that happen formally right now, but it's true. Like, people are getting further and further from, like, their establishment. I'd say, but, like, obviously on the right, it's more because they're like, we need an ethno state. And then on the left, it's like, how about people don't go broke because they have cancer?
Right.
Like, and that's kind of our options. But in the middle, with the Republicans and Democrats, like we've said before, you have two parties that are basically going to advocate for the same thing.
Right.
At the end of the
day. So they join up, become like center party, and then you have like small MAGA wing and small progressive wing is like one of the ways that it could go, I guess.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, sure, like without looking at what the actual mechanics are, but you definitely see that there are these specific blocks of voters, and increasingly progressives and leftists are like, man, I don't know what the fuck is going on with the Democrats, because like we're not seeing humane policy at every turn. We're just seeing a lot of we're just going to do little take backs from things we promised.
Yeah. Would happen. Psych.
Yeah.
A series of psychs. Yeah, we'll do that.
Psych. Psych. Thanks for your vote.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, a lot of like it makes sense that you're speaking historically because these are like historically unprecedented levels of incompetence and like not being able to get somebody elected. Right.
Yeah. Like when you can't even you can't even have a consensus choice for speaker.
Yeah,
it ain't work.
Yeah, and like I think viewed in the context of like day-to-day cable news, it's like these jokers in Washington can't get it together once again. What else is new? But and all I do is watch CNN and MSNBC and Fox News. I'm just mainlining that shit. But yeah, from a more historical perspective, it's like they don't like have an agenda. They're not a functioning political party anymore.
Yeah.
So maybe at a certain point it just falls apart.
And I think the other side of that coin too is America is not even close to being the same as these other, you know, these other examples. So who knows if this is even uncharted territory in the sense of like, and it didn't collapse and it fully, you know, brought together all of the fascists together under one party.
Right.
And that's where we're at. But again, yeah, the intra-party fighting, like, I mean, like, just I was just reading about the people who are getting death threats. Like in one of the meetings, another Republican congressperson was defending the fact that people were getting death threats for not voting for Jim Jordan. They're like, well, they're getting death threats because they didn't vote for Jim Jordan.
Yeah.
And like, was
maybe
just,
if they
like,
knew what was good for them, they would vote for him.
Just
like, wait, that was a death threat that you just said.
Yeah, I don't know. But maybe but it sounds like if you vote for Jim Jordan, you wouldn't get death threats. Because I voted for Jim Jordan. I didn't get a death threat. You voted for Jim. Did you get one? Okay, so that's interesting. But
that makes
you didn't,
two of us. I don't know.
And you did. Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it does feel like more and more we're becoming aware that like they are doing the bidding of like not the people who are supposed to be voting for them. I don't know if that's more and more the case. Or if we're just like becoming more and more aware of it, that they're just kind of these zombie institutions doing the bidding of corporations and profit.
Certainly like younger voters don't have the same like rose tinted glasses of like making a ton of money in the 80s that like colors the way they look at like our government, you know, our government. They're like, man, it's all been fucked up the whole time. And so it's funny when you see like these octogenarians in power, they're like, what the hell what's wrong with these young kids? Like they're smarter. They're more informed than like I was when I was fucking 18. That's the fucking difference.
It's and there's like not a single person in Congress. Like they're so far away from having anything in place that like honors that that truth, you know, that is like, you know, reflective of the fact that all of this is bullshit. That I don't know. Like, we probably are headed for like unprecedented things and the breakup of political parties and stuff. So I'll give it a snooze minus. I'm still bored by the whole thing, but maybe, you know.
Hey, in 20 years, it won't even matter because we'll all just be like Mad Maxing our way through
water
wars. Life. The water wars. Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Water That's world, right. though. I prefer water world than Mad
Everything
Max.
Everything about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. You go on a vacation to Water World after you do your Mad Maxing for day to day, Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Right. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And women in Iceland, including the prime minister, have gone on strike. They went on strike on Tuesday. Tens of thousands of women. This is part of the, and I'm definitely going to nail the pronunciation of this.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Kvennafri?
Sure. Why not? Yeah.
Or Women's Day Off to protest the ongoing gender pay gap and gender-based violence.
It's pronounced Gleok, actually.
Oh, okay, good.
And this is you got to shoot it in the fucking eye.
What you're Googling. Oh, that's right. That's what, cut to, like, the people in the Icelandic, like, parliament on this day, and they're like, how do we fucking beat this? I hear you have to shoot it in the eye.
I was listening to this podcast.
Yeah. But this has been going on for a long time. I think that they're saying this is the biggest one since 1975, when 90% of Iceland's female population went on strike. And there have been a number since then. I think there's been 7 of these like nationwide strikes over the past 50 years. This is supposed to be the biggest one in 50 years. But I don't know. The people are pointing out that Iceland has been ranked the best country in the world for women by the World Economic Forum 14 years in a row. And, you know, the prime minister is like, but we still have a lot of work to do. And it's just, it would seem to me to be like worth noting that a nation that is engaging in this like massive direct action collective protest and has been for 50 years has also been the best country in the world for women by the World Economic Forum 14 years in a row. Like, that feels like the sort of thing that you would remark on and like would be everybody would know about if it weren't so counterproductive to profitability, you know?
They're like, hold on. Yeah. Half the workforce is going to take a day off and they want to be paid more? Oh, no. We can't have that. We can't have that.
Jeez. Yeah.
I mean, it also just goes to show that the country where it seems like quality of life for women is like better than most places in the world, and they're still not happy, and they're still like survivors of gender-based violence and, you know, pay gap issues. And so I'm like, oh God, can we in the US and so many other countries like get together and do the same thing?
Yeah.
Because the best country in the world for this is still like, there's still inequality and disparity. So imagine where we are.
Oh, you right. Want to know?
Yeah.
You know where exactly. The US is on that list?
Like,
how are we doing?
100.
Like, gotta be 2, 3.
Oh, come on. No, the top 3 are all Scandinavian countries.
What?
Iceland, Norway, Finland, New Zealand. Well, obviously not New Zealand, then Sweden. US, all the way down at number 43.
Okay.
Come on.
Out of 146. So at least we're the top half, top 50%. Top 50%.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, out of what, 100 countries?
146.
In the world?
146 that they analyzed. Okay. Yeah. Number 40. We're 43. We're 43. Yeah, we're just, Colombia just has the edge on us. And Belarus.
Wow.
Embarrassing for.
Wow. And Liberia.
Us or the U.S.? Which is it? Is it both? Wow.
I just thought about that. That's crazy.
Same.
Well, my own fucking mind up here, folks.
Happened. It's wild.
Yeah, this does feel like, I don't know, there should be a movement to make this a international thing, because I think it would be helpful for people to have this reminder that, you know, the importance, like the power of women, that they can bring everything to a halt. And I think like having that tool in the arsenal like is probably a big reason why they're towards the front of progress, you know.
How do you even organize something like that though? Like I imagine
first
it's easier to do in
Prime
Iceland.
No.
right.
Yeah.
But like I can't even imagine that working in the US in terms of like just getting people organized and on board and actually doing it.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I think when you have like good social safety nets, it's easy for a person to be like, you know what? I'm going to take the fucking day off.
Right.
But our system is built to be like.
And that's the problem with good social safety nets, folks.
Yeah. It encourages people to think for themselves and shit rather than to be caught in the endless loop of toil in order to. Yeah. So, yeah, that's the other thing that I really think of. Yeah. We are not. We are basically set up in the most hostile way for workers or people who have to work to like take up for themselves. Yeah. Thanks, Gavin Newsom, for vetoing that bill that would have gave striking workers unemployment benefits. But hey, it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah.
Running for president. We get it.
Just more evidence that collective action works, you know, not saying that like what they're protesting, like the fact that they're still protesting is, you know, not serious because they're at the front of the, you know, but I think the fact that they are leaders in this, people should be taking that as a reason to try and organize something similar, like closer to home. close to work.
And yeah, because it's not just like work, like going into your paid work. It's like if you're doing duties within your home, like tools down, like this is meant to resonate at in every fucking way.
Every level.
Yeah. How much we depend on, you know, the labor of these people.
I'm not even going to flush my toilet when I go on strike. Yeah. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I've been on strike for fucking 30 years, man. Still shit ain't changing, literally.
You guys ready for a Taylor Swift conspiracy theory?
Is it a good one?
No, it's not a good one.
Oh.
I'll just tell you up front.
I honestly, it's taking over my brain because the repetition from the media of like microanalyzing every single thing about her life, it's like gotten to me now. And I'm like, her and Travis held hands again leaving Arrowhead Stadium? That was a fucking headline on Sunday. I'm
right.
Like, yeah, they're dating. What the fuck are we? What? Is this like a high school newspaper? Like, for real right now? They held hands after the football game and they left in his dad's convertible.
People are just truly. I don't know. Everything she does. I did watch one of her reactions to a touchdown or a near touchdown. And I was like, man, still have not seen a false move from her. She's just always exactly perfect. And it's like, did she practice that 1,000 times? Just how to react in that moment?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
In the mirror, like different ways, like, yes. Or when like, okay, too aggressive. How about when like, oh, Travis,
yeah,
let's fucking go. That was like another one that everyone did LFG, dude.
But I think it's just that she has been watched like since she was 12 years old. So she like she's just constantly camera aware at all times. And
terribly lonely.
Higher level of human. Of camera-aware celebrity human. Mm-hmm. But anyways, she's also writing spy novels, according to fans. So this is...
Sure.
this one's pretty dumb. So back in 2021, the guy who made the Kingsman movies, Matthew Vaughn, claimed that his new movie was based on a yet-to-be-published spy novel, Argyle, by an unknown author named Ellie Conway.
Okay.
And the trailer for the movie's out. It stars Henry Cavill as like a Bond type super spy, Bryce Dallas Howard as Ellie Conway, the author who created him. Did you see the trailer?
Yeah. It actually looks kind of, I'm not gonna lie, I was like, all right, let's see. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah.
It reminds me of like Romancing the Stone or what was that newer movie that came out with Sandra Bullock and
I thought Shane that was Tatum. Romancing the Stone, but yeah, I was like, yeah.
Yeah, so like rom-com meta one, right? Where she's a rom-com writer and then gets
Lost
like,
City, the Lost City, Lost City,
Lost City. She's not. City it's not a rom-com writer. She's like an adventure writer, and which is the same premise as the Romancing the Stone, which is Kathleen Turner from the 80s.
Yeah, yes.
But anyways, like the whole thing, the book. He's like, I got my hands on this book. It's the best adventure spy novel I've ever read. I'm gonna make a movie out of it. The novel has never come out, and nobody can find Ellie Conway as like an actual living human being. And people are like, oh, this is just like a spot, like a way. It's a, he wrote a screenplay, essentially, is what it seems like.
Right, and some guerrilla marketing.
And then
kind of thing.
Yeah, started doing like some guerrilla marketing, but. So it seems like she doesn't exist, and the book is like some sort of tie-in gimmick, and pretty straightforward. But now, like online Taylor Swift conspiracy theorists are speculating the book was secretly written by Taylor Swift, and that Ellie Conway is her pen name.
And what leads them to believe this?
All right, the evidence is pretty strong, but evidence is kind of basically impossible to argue with.
Okay.
Irrefutable.
So, she's written songs under pseudonyms.
That's it. All right. Fine. We're done here.
Not under the pseudonym Ellie Conway, by the
way.
That's fine. But just under pseudonyms.
Doesn't matter.
That proves it.
Ellie Conway's profile picture is a coffee cup, which you might notice the coffee cup seen in Midnights.
Okay.
Also a coffee cup.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The spoon is even pointing toward the midnight direction of a clock. So it would be like 12 o'clock.
Okay.
Ellie Conway in the trailer played by Bryce Dallas Howard, has a cat backpack similar to Taylor Swift's and owns the same breed of cat that Taylor Swift does.
Okay.
Oh. Also that Matthew Vaughn does. But
no, no.
What if, Jack, what fucking, if?
Jack, stay on task here. Yeah.
Matthew Vaughn is Taylor Swift.
Oh, shit.
Ever think about that?
Matthew Vaughn is Taylor Swift.
Okay, that's called Christ consciousness.
Vaughn is Swift. And then, like, so up to this point, I was like, guys, this seems a little shaky. But then, nail in the coffin, Taylor Swift has worn Argyle sweaters.
Ah!
Well, there it is.
See, Jack has used a pseudonym, has a cat, and has worn Argyle sweaters. It's clearly she's writing. She's writing spy novels in between being an already fucking one of the busiest human beings, I think, on the planet right now. But yes. Okay. Right.
Okay. Did you notice that during some of the Chiefs games, like, she wasn't on camera? And, like, where was she? Probably writing a spy novel, would be my guess. Yeah.
I like this.
When you look at what the plot of the movie is, it seems very much in line with what the director and writer of the Kingsman movies would write, and not necessarily in line with what Taylor Swift would write. Like, if you had to guess the type of movie that Taylor Swift would write, would it involve, like, people who are, like, sick with weapons and, like, just do awesome shooting stuff to one another? Yes. It would be a lot of gunplay in the Taylor Swift movie. Mm-hmm. Obviously.
But this to the point that, you know, we've talked about a lot about stan culture replacing, like, religion. This does feel very like uber Christian type shit, where you're like, no, that wasn't, that touchdown wasn't that player, that was God, actually.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah,
you know what I mean? This script, I know that you're saying Matthew Vaughn wrote it, it is actually God, Taylor Swift.
That's right.
All things are possible through her.
That's right.
But again, hey, I love the dedication. Love the dedication. She's Ron Howard's daughter, right? Bryce Dallas Howard?
Yes.
Yes.
And if you believe my conspiracy theory, so is Taylor Swift.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's Clint Howard's daughter.
Well, that would be amazing. I do wonder if there is some genius marketing firm out there that is just, like, threading this conspiracy theory, seeding this conspiracy theory, so that, because they're just like, if you just say Taylor Swift secretly involved in this project, it's going to get it so many headlines, so much attention.
Ooh. Butts in seats.
Yes. So
yeah, it's a propaganda tactic.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
and we should be using it.
You create associations, right? To get people to be like, what, this thing is associated with, therefore now I'm on board with that. So,
and therefore, yeah.
Genius.
What?
Genius.
Miles has been Taylor Swift this whole time.
Oh, yeah. Her Majesty? You thought that Her Majesty was...
Hey, stop, Jack. Now you're crossing the line. You said you respected my relationship with Taylor, man.
Hey, I'm just saying.
Don't put them on the... Don't.
Regal for many reasons, you know? I'm just saying. A true queen.
Oh, my God.
Well, Caitlin Durante, what a pleasure having you on the show. People find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
You can, mostly I'm on Instagram these days, and that's even barely the case, but you can follow me at Caitlin Durante. But the main thing I really want to plug is I have some screenwriting workshops and classes coming up. I have I teach a screenwriting workshop that is over the course of 2 days, so like a Saturday and a Sunday, 2 hours each. And I have two of those coming up, one in mid-November, one in mid-December, and that you'll learn, like, screenwriting basics. And then I have an intro to screenwriting class that'll start in the new year, early January. And so I just have a bunch of screenwriting things that I will be teaching. And you can go to my website, caitlindurante.com/classes. For, like, the registration links and more details.
And I know you legally said you weren't allowed to comment on whether Taylor Swift has taken your courses or not. But so I'll just leave it there.
Yeah.
You can't comment on whether she did that in preparation for writing the screenplay for Argyle. But
I'll do a little wink and then then you'll kind of know.
Oh, shit. Kaylin did just do a little wink. It was like a very little wink. But oh, my God.
Confirmed.
Mm-hmm. I think we can confirm it, you guys. Just don't ask her lawyers. is there a work of media that you've been enjoying?
Yes, I love and would recommend the movie Dix the Musical in theaters now. I had a blast. I thought it was so funny.
You love your sewer boys?
Sewer boys. Oh my gosh. Those
just
little
burden
sewer
that
boys.
Meat.
And
I saw it and people walked out.
I am yes, it is the movie. It is the type of movie that some people would walk out of, but they're incorrect. And
yeah, and
movie,
I choked them out. Every person that walked, I said, "Oh, you a tough guy, huh? Hold on.
Stand behind the door.
Yeah, where are you going? Oh, you didn't. Oh, you didn't like the themes too extreme for you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you want a little teaser for kind of what the type of movie it is, I would recommend listening to the Megan Thee Stallion song, "Out Alpha the Alpha," which happens in the movie, and it's so great.
Man, it's a wild movie. It's wild.
Dix the Musical. Yeah.
It went from a UCB show to a full-on feature film with Megan Mullally.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nathan Lane.
Yeah. Nathan Lane, Megan Thee Stallion. It's wild. It's wild. Yeah. Like, when you watch it, you will not believe that this is a movie that has been made. It's so against everything that you think, like, movies. I don't know. It's, like, in a very great subversive way.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Bowen Yang, also.
Bowen Yang.
Wow.
Literally plays God. Plays literal God.
Okay, I've seen the trailer for this. Yeah. Miles, where can people find you? What's work media you've been enjoying?
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, at Miles of Gray. Also, find us on our basketball podcast, Miles and Jack. Boosties. The NBA season has finally begun as of this
recording. Upon us.
Don't know what happened in that.
We don't know.
So let's just pretend it was a victory for everybody involved. And also find me on 420 Day Fiance and also The Good Thief, the true crime podcast, talking about the Greek Robin Hood. It's only 8 episodes, so please check that out. A tweet I like is from at Brooke Perrin, tweeted, "The vet called my 7-year-old dog a senior today, which is impossible because she's just a baby. Like, she and I discuss it often about how she's just a tiny little baby." Which I fucking think of that shit all the time. It's jarring to think of your gray-haired dog who is basically a senior. No, this is, 'tis a baby. This is a baby.
Tis but a wee lass.
Yeah.
Tweet I've been enjoying. Noah Garfinkel tweeted, "The only experience I've ever had reading a haiku is counting syllables in my head and then thinking, they're right, it's a haiku." And that is facts. The only way I can encounter a haiku. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at @DailyZeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, is there a song that you think people might enjoy?
Yeah, I think some people are going to like this track. It's by an artist called Soul Child, but spelled SOLCHYLD. Yeah, somebody's been in the lab. She's from New Jersey, an MC, and again, I love her like rapping style. It's very reminiscent of the golden era of hip-hop, especially from that New York, New Jersey area. So check this track out. It's called NBC by Soul Child.
All right. Well, we will link off to that in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Yeah. That is going to do it for us this morning. Mm-hmm. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
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 Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the no sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.